أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq to have yet another night to have the honor of commemorating the master of the martyrs, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And we're trying to use this opportunity to work on ourselves, better ourselves, change ourselves so that we're able to prepare the grounds for the return of our master. We see a connection between what we're doing right now, our actions here, wherever we are, how we live our lives, and the return of our master and the imminent victory of Islam. If we do our responsibilities, we can hasten the reappearance of the Imam. If we neglect our responsibilities, the reappearance of the Imam will be delayed. So it's very important for us to take advantage of all of these opportunities. I advise myself first and then all of you. We're going over the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and we've come to a very important verse when it comes to practical lessons which will help us in our own spirituality and in bettering ourselves. The story of Hazrat Yusuf up until now has been this. The boys wanted to get their brother away from their father. They came up with a wonderful plan. The father, Hazrat Yaqub, first tried to resist, not give in to the boys, not put Yusuf at their disposal. They explained that we want to take him out, have a good time, and we're going to look out for him. We're going to protect him. We're going to watch out for him. Hazrat Yaqub didn't have an answer, a reason why he could say, shar'an, it's not correct if these boys go with you. And he allowed Yusuf to go with the boys. It's mentioned that before that, he hugged him, embraced him, tears were falling from his eyes, and he saw Yusuf for the last time in a long time. The boys, once they had Yusuf away from their father, all of that rage came out. They beat Yusuf and lowered Yusuf into the well. After that, now we've got to go back to our father, the second part of the plan. The second part of the plan is that now we convince our father that yes, indeed, a wolf has eaten Yusuf. Now that he's gone, we have our father for ourselves, and now we can enjoy life. They come back in the evening, crying, and they're carrying a bloody shirt. Their father himself had mentioned that maybe a wolf might eat Yusuf. This has happened. We're sorry. You're not going to believe us, but this is the situation. Now, this part of our story differs from the biblical narrative. I want to look at the words of Hazrat Yaqub carefully because there's a big lesson, an important lesson that we can get for our own spirituality from this. But in order to understand the greatness of this statement of the Holy Quran, first I'll read you the Arabic and the translation, explain to you the mistaken view, the biblical narrative, and what it is that Allah says in this verse. This is verse number 18. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. And they brought his shirt with some sham blood on it. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Rather, he said, your souls have made an evil matter seem decorous to you. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. Yet I will be patient, as patience is beautiful, and Allah is my only resort against what you allege. Why mention what's mentioned in the Bible? We don't accept what's mentioned in the Bible. Let's understand what was said over there and then understand what it is the Quran is talking about. In the biblical version, Yusuf alayhi salam is sent by his father to his brothers. All of this is important later. He's sent by his father to his brothers. He goes to his brothers. The idea of putting Yusuf in the well is kind of spontaneous. It's not a premeditated crime. Spontaneous. Over there, they decide. They come back with the shirt with blood on it, and their father believes them. He says, it seems an animal has devoured him. Some animal must have come and eaten him. So now, what's so different in the Quran? What is the Quran emphasizing on? And then what point are we going to get from that? What the Quran says is, وَجَاءُ عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. They came and they brought his shirt back with some sham blood on it. Now, in the Arabic words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, each one of them was chosen for a reason, and there's a precise meaning that Allah wanted to get out of them. For instance, if you look at the verse, it says, bidamin kadhib, dam. But he uses it in the indefinite sense, the nakira. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word blood, but not say aleph, put an aleph lam on the blood? Why would he use the nakira? What's so important about doing that? What happens is, in the Arabic language, if we use the nakira, one of the meanings for using the indefinite is to show how little the indication was on him being killed. This is what Alama says. Nukira dam lidalala ala hawani dalalatihi wa dha'fiha ala ma wasifu. The reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the word and he said dam, but he made it nakira, indefinite, is to show how little that blood indicated that Yusuf has been devoured. You come back with a shirt, a little blood spattered on it. Any intelligent person will understand there's no way a wolf devoured someone. No teeth in the clothes, just a little blood on it. The blood had no, he knew 100% just looking at that blood, this isn't the case. A little bit of false blood. In addition to that, Allah says kadhib. Why is sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, he says kadhib. He doesn't say kadhib, that the blood was a lie. He says the blood, he doesn't say the blood was, for instance, if you describe someone as being kadhib in Arabic, that means they're a liar. But if you say kidhb or kadhib, it means a lie. What's the difference between the two here? For instance, if you say Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam is adil, that means he's just. If you say he's adl, that means he's justice. Amirul Mu'mineen is justice. Over here, when they use this terminology in the Arabic, that's saying that this false blood was a lie. So Ya'qub alayhi salam, when he sees this, he realizes this is a complete and absolute lie. It's completely false. Not that he thought that this was the case. He believed them. He was heartbroken. No, he can see this, and this is why it's going to be so important to understand his words now. He sees this and he can tell this is a monstrous lie. One point about lying, I mentioned this the other day. The idea that lying is not one with the universe. A lie unravels. The universe was created bilhaq. We have in the verses of the Quran, this is Surah number 6, verse number 73. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, the universe, bilhaq, truth. The lie doesn't fit into that. The lie doesn't work with that. The lie unravels over time. You're not able to cover, God forbid if someone lies, they're not able to make all the dots connect. The lie unravels. Hazrat Yaqub sees this, and it's a lie, and a monstrous lie. So now, look at the situation. Hazrat Yaqub, his boys asked him for Yusuf to come. He didn't send Yusuf. His boys asked, insisted. They knew he loved Yusuf more than even Binyamin and more than all of them for the sake of Allah. They knew that. Knowing that our father, how much he loves this young boy for the sake of Allah, then insisting, then taking him, and then coming back and lying to your father in his face. And you can see this. His boys were big. His boys were grown men, young men. When you get older, you start to rely on your children. At first, you serve your children. Once your children get a little bit older, you're now relying on them. Your support are your children, are your sons. What do you do when your support betrays you? What do you do when your support betrays you? You can tell there's a plot here, but your means of investigating are the same people who betrayed you. Now the statement of Hazrat Yaqub becomes even more important. What did he say? Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If we notice the situation, what he says, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam is in complete control. He's been betrayed. He's been hurt in a way a stranger couldn't have hurt him that much. His enemies couldn't have hurt him that much. His boys, his family, his blood, they've hurt him in a way no one else can hurt him. But now the words of Hazrat Yaqub, measured, precise, completely in control of the nafs. What did he say? قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said, rather your souls have made an evil matter seem decorous to you. This is something terrible. It's shaitani, but your souls, your nafs, has made it seem good to you, decorous, beautiful to you. One of the jobs that shaitan does, one of the ways he attacks us in the Holy Quran, is that he makes bad deeds seem beautiful. Sins and wicked actions, if we're not careful, shaitan makes the bad deed sound good. It can get to a stage, if we're not careful, if we're not quick to make tawbah, after a while we start to defend the bad deeds. Munkar becomes ma'ruf. Values become mixed and upside down. Shaitan beautifies these things. The nafs beautifies these things. He says, your souls, your nafs, I know this isn't true. A wolf didn't take him. Your nafs has made this terrible act, kidnapping the son of a prophet, seem good to you. He continues, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He says, patience is beautiful. I will be patient as patience is beautiful. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah is my only resort against what you allege. Again, when we look at the tafsir of Allama Tabatabai, he says, why sabr? And why does he use, again, the indefinite form? Sabrun. Why that? This time, the tanween indicates how much pressure he was under. How terrible this event was for him. How difficult it was for him to bear being betrayed by his friends, by his helpers, by his supporters, by his family members. Hazrat Yaqub was going through one of the most difficult tests in his entire life. Being betrayed by those closest to you. And again, there's lessons that we're going to try and get for our own spirituality. Being lied to in his face by his children. So, his answer, what we get from the tafsir, is that right now, Hazrat Yaqub did not have a responsibility to respond against his sons. His duty was not to take harsh action against them, to come down like a ton of bricks. Right now, his Islamic duty was patience, sabr, and that's what he did. The only person I can rely on in this calamity, at this level, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, lessons for us. Because when we go over these verses, it's not just a history lesson. We don't just want to learn the finer points of the Holy Quran. We want to derive lessons for ourselves, practically. The first lesson, the first thing that I'd like to touch on and remind myself first, and all of you, is the relationship that we as children have to our parents. A lot of us are young men and young women now. We're at a stage where some of us are in a situation where our parents are now relying on us. The relationship you'll discover once you become a parent, the relationship that you have with your children is very special. You see their success as your success. They suffer, you suffer. They make a mistake, you feel that. Parents feel that. If your child, who you will die for, who you've sacrificed for, our mothers, they took care of us when we were helpless. They remember those nights we were running around in diapers, unable to defend ourselves, unable to help ourselves. Our mothers were there for us, took care of us. If the fruit of your heart says cruel and cold words, sometimes as children, we can break our parents' heart in a way that nobody else can. We want to be real careful about the words that we choose when we're talking to our parents. It's important for us, for the soldiers of the Mahdi, to be dutiful to their parents. Be kind to their parents. It's not enough, I'm on the right path, I'm doing the right thing, I know that Islam has created social responsibilities for me, so I treat my parents any way that I want to. I respond anyway. Even if our parents are wrong, that's another one. Sometimes your parents are also dhalimeen, and parents want to keep that in mind. Later when you become parents, don't be a dhalim. Now I have a dutiful child, alhamdulillah, now finally I found somebody. No, as a parent, you don't want to be like that. But we have hadith, even if your parents are wrong, even if they've been dhalim, Islam's teachings, not the West, even at that stage, I can't give my parents a harsh look, the look of death. Right? They've done something wrong, smack me, for instance. So I look at them and, you know, the death look, right? We don't do that. It's very important for us not to become aqab walidain, not to commit that major sin. Being dutiful to parents is very important as children. Another lesson that we want to get from this. If we noticed in the story of Hazrat Yaqub and Yusuf and his brothers, it's a story where everybody ends up on the right path. Yusuf ends, of course, on the right path. His father and mother in the dream, they're the sun and the moon, Hazrat Yaqub and his wife. His brothers become luminous planets. These same brothers who had done so much wrong, who betrayed their father, who took the son of a prophet, put him in a well, sold him into slavery themselves. These same guys come back on the right path. Because of the patience of Yaqub, that sabr, which was jameel, he was able to play a role and guiding these boys back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabrun jameel. That patience, that beautiful patience. If we're patient, if we're not reactionary in our relationships, let's say I'm a parent. My child strays a little bit. My child makes a serious mistake. Do I want to be a person who immediately presses the nuke button? Immediately that's it, I've drawn the line, wash my hands of the person. What about in a relationship? In a relationship, when I'm dealing with my spouse, my husband, my wife, they say something inappropriate. The closest people to me, like the brothers of Yaqub, the people close to me who can hurt me in a way nobody else can, these people hurt me. If I can draw this lesson from Hazrat Yaqub, to be patient at that stage, I can play a role also in others coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Yaqub was betrayed in a terrible way. The kids are lying to him in his face. But still he says, no, the only person I go back to now is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tragedy is so difficult. I have nowhere else to turn. I have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in practice, patience. Not throwing the person away. Not getting rid of another Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen. Brothers and sisters, we have enough of a problem with the other society, the Western society, dragging Mu'mineen off the path. They're spiritual casualties. Allah has given us the tawfiq. We're participating in these majalis of Imam al-Hussein. Do you know how many other lovers of Ahlul Bayt, Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen, don't have this opportunity? Don't have this tawfiq? They're living here in the same city as we are. Living here in the same city as we are. But Allah honored us. Allah favored us. Allah allowed us to participate in the majalis of Imam al-Hussein. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to throw away Shias needlessly. As many of the Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen you can bring to the right path by being patient, by stepping on your own ego a little bit, much more valuable. Sometimes in a family, I'll throw away a relationship. My husband said something wrong, even inappropriate. But if we can have that patience, sabrun jameel. Let me give you another example. Another example, because what we find mentioned in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt is this. This is among the trait of those who are muttaqeen. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam describes this. He says, in the khutbah of the muttaqeen, he says that one of the traits of the God-weary, those who see themselves as being in the presence of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are conscious of Allah's presence, he says they have these traits. He says, يَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ذَلَمَهُ. The believer, the God-weary, the muttaqi person, forgives the person who's oppressed him. It's easy to say, difficult to do. The person's oppressed them, done wrong to them, trampled on their rights. يَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ذَلَمَهُ. He says, وَيُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَهُ. They give to the person who's denied them. When I needed a loan, when my business was struggling, when I needed a couple of dollars to make it, and this brother had it, this sister had it, at that time I said, brother, can you give me a loan? No. Now, the tables have been turned. Now they need me. Now my situation is good. At this stage, am I that God conscious that the person who denied me when I was in need, now they come to me for the sake of Allah. يُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَ. Give to the person who denied them. This takes a great ruh, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the elite soldiers of the Imam of the time. That's what they're like. He continues, وَيَسَلُ مَنْ قَتَعَ. Sometimes it's a family member. The hadith says, a family member who's cut ties with me. That the muttaqi is the person who ties the ties of relationship with a family member who's been wrong to them. Let me give you a true story from the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Once the Imam had an argument with one of his cousins. His name is Abdullah bin Hassan. The Imam, Ma'asum, has an argument with his cousin. Who's in the right? Imam al-Sadiq. Sometimes, well, that person, but they did wrong to me. I'll take vengeance on them. I'll teach them a lesson. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he's right. Always generous, always kind, always doing the right thing. This person, Abdullah, has done wrong to him. They had an argument, a fight, they go their ways. That evening, Imam al-Sadiq shows up outside his house, outside the house of his cousin. His cousin says, what brought you here in the middle of the night? Why are you here? We had an argument, a fight, you go on your own way. But the Imam quotes this verse of the Holy Quran. It's from Surah 13 and verse number 21. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلُ. He says that And those who join what Allah has commanded to be joined, those ties of relationship, one of the sins that one can commit is to cut ties of relationship. Those ties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered to be joined, they tie them. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ And fear their Lord and are afraid of an adverse reckoning. The Imam quotes that verse. The Imam's right, he's wrong. This is when the believer shows his moral excellence. This is when the believer shows his excellence. Of course, there is an exception. It's not the case that under every circumstance, we always forgive, we always go back to the other person. No, there is an exception. It's not an absolute rule. Two exceptions that I'm going to mention. One of them is when the person has done a wrong against someone else. They've violated one of the social laws of Islam. For instance, you have an Islamic government and someone commits a crime against the Sharia. They steal, for instance. You can't forgive that. It's not yours to forgive. The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of society. No, I'll forgive them. You know, Allah forgives those. No, that's not mine. Another one. Sometimes, rare occasion. This is the exception, not the rule. Rare occasion. Sometimes forgiving the person will cause the person to have more tughyan. If you forgive me, I'm so wicked, so bad, so evil. If you forgive me, it'll make me worse. I'll get further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to stand up for me. You need to make me realize who I am in order to do tarbiyah of me. That is the case on occasion. We have a hadith, instructions, where they say, be arrogant with the arrogant. Be arrogant with the arrogant. So there are exceptions. But the general rule, for 95% of the people, 99% of the people, most people aren't Shimr and Yazid. Most family members, most other people who've wronged us, they're not that wicked. Most people, if they see that you are someone who ties the ties of relationship when they've cut them, you spend when they've denied you. Most people are like the brothers of Ya'qub, the sons of Hazrat Ya'qub. Maybe they've committed sins, maybe they have problems, but they can be brought back to the way. Let me share one true story with you. True story. About one of the shuhada, may Allah have mercy on his soul. I mentioned him the other night, Muhammad Burunjudi. Mention him. Exceptionally brave, Allah have mercy on this man. Exceptionally brave. They used to call him the savior of Kurdistan. This guy is not a normal guy. Anyhow, at one stage, he was the commander of a group of the Revolutionary Guards in Kurdistan. He's a commander, not an ordinary guy. By himself, he's not an ordinary guy. Now he's the commander. He's driving in a vehicle. He has two other members of the Revolutionary Guard with him in the car. But he's wearing civilian clothes. He's driving in his car. Now, if any of you brothers and sisters have driven in the Islamic Republic, you realize that sometimes before you get in the car in Iran, first you want to write your wasiyah. Oh Allah, if I die... Not easy. Okay. He gets in. He's driving in the car there. They're driving. A truck driver comes behind him. If you've been in Iran, you've seen this happen. The person starts to blink the lights. Get out the way. I want to go past. Blink the lights, driving up, tailgating. Move aside. So the Shaheed is driving his car. He's driving. Other two members of the Revolutionary Guard with him. He tries to move so the truck driver can go past him. But it's the traffic, one line on this side, traffic, one line on this side. Even if he tries to move aside, there's no way the truck can pass. He's not fast enough. There's no opportunity from the other side. Still, the truck driver continues to honk, flick the lights, move out the way. I know I need to go past. He tries several times. He's trying. He's making effort. Driving the car, trying to go over. The truck driver can't go past. Truck driver can't go past. Blinking, angry, shouting. Finally, they move forward a little bit. He brings his truck aside, his car aside. The truck driver is finally able to pass. Alhamdulillah. They see the truck driver slams on the brakes after that. They have to struggle to keep the car from colliding with the truck. Then the truck driver jumps out of the truck. One of those guys with those handlebar mustaches, big guy's handlebar, comes over to the car where Shahid is, opens the door, smacks him in the face. Smacks him in the face. Shahid is not an ordinary person. He's also got two other guys with them. The truck driver comes over, swearing at him, foul language. At this stage, the Shahid says, "You forgive us, we're in the wrong. You forgive us, we're in the wrong." Truck driver, grumbling, goes back to his vehicle, gets back in the thing, and he goes. The incident passes. Later on, apparently that same evening, Shahid hears some noise outside of his office. Some people complaining, there's a problem, there's an issue. What's happening? There's a truck driver, and that truck driver is in a big hurry. Truck driver's in a big hurry, needs to go. Have him come in the office. He comes into the office. Now the Shahid sitting there. Now he's there in his military uniform, the commander of the entire base. He's sitting there. The truck driver walks in. The same youth I just smacked, he's in charge of the entire base. He says, "Oh, you're making noise again. What's the problem? What's the issue?" The guy's looking. He says, "I'm in a hurry to get back. I want to go back. But they're telling me they can't take this load that I have to deliver right now. They're telling me to wait till tomorrow." Shahid picks up the phone. "Brothers, take this brother's load right now. He needs to go." The guy's so shocked. "I slapped him. I cursed him. He's the commander of the base. He could do anything to me." He says, "What's the problem? Go." And they say, "Away of Allah, go, bismillah." The guy's so shocked, tears come out of his eyes. He goes over and embraces him, the truck driver. The majority of mu'mineen, majority of people we deal with, are like the brothers of Yaqub. They're like you and I. If we see magnanimity, forgiveness, overlooking flaws, that ruh of the soldiers of the Mahdi, we'll become good human beings. Of course, brothers and sisters, we don't do this so others respond to us. Then we won't be able to keep it up. I'm faking it. I'm not really fasabrun jameel. I'm furious. But I've heard a hadith, ayat, I'll be. So now I'm doing that. Okay, now I want to get the jaza from the other human beings, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we can do this qurbatan ilallah, without any expectation, any request, anything from others, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. My goals are so important as a soldier of the Mahdi. I've got big things to accomplish. Tasks. I would like to see everyone come on the right side. These kind of individuals, if they're working in an Islamic organization, for instance, instead of quickly, "No, I wash my hands of this organization. I go my own way." No. Sabrun jameel. So brothers and sisters, we need to be like this. We need to take that practical lesson from the life of Imam, of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Of course, as I mentioned, there is no conflict. We're not calling on brothers and sisters to be doormats. Right? Anybody oppresses you, don't say anything. No, we give gentle reminders. We explain to people, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife. We do give those gentle reminders. We explain, Hazrat Yaqub explained, what you've done is wrong. You've hurt my feelings, you've embarrassed me, whatever. But the idea of washing the hands of the person, "I'm done with you, out of my life," that one's what we're talking about. So there's no conflict between this verse and the obligation of doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, or the common sense of speaking up, addressing the problem, addressing the issues, but at the same time, fasabrun jameel. Now, there's a really important point of how can we get to this level? How can we as believers get to that level that we have that sabr, which is jameel? How we get there is something else. How we get there is by acting according to our responsibilities. There are times where aqlan and shar'an You and I, we can tell this is a time for us to be patient. If we will act on those circumstances which we know are obligations for us to be patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that knowledge of the other places, the other times when we should be patient. He'll show us, He'll guide us. If we can start acting on those areas where we know 100% this is a time for me to be patient, I start working on myself, I start practicing what I preach, then that other knowledge is available for us. There is other knowledge that Allah can give us if we start acting on that taqwa. Let me give you a verse of the Holy Quran. There's a verse of the Holy Quran explaining that this is one of the gifts that Allah gives the mu'mineen. The verse itself is this. Allah says, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah wa aminu bi rasulih. O you who believe. So these are believers who believe. Mu'mineen. Believe. Allah saying, again, believe. Bi rasulih. Yu'tikum kiflain min rahmatih. If you do this, if you have that Iman on top of Iman, that higher level of Iman, the gift that Allah will give you is thawab on top of thawab. And one other gift. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. Allah will give you, verse of the Holy Quran, a light for you to walk by. If you will believe, act on what you know, Iman on top of Iman, do what you're supposed to. There are other things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you, and one of them is that special knowledge, that light where you know now this is my responsibility, this is my duty, and it's a light that comes because of amal, because of practice of the religion. Now, because we want to mention the sacrifice of Imam al-Husayn tonight, it's important for us to link this in with the sabr and the patience of Imam al-Husayn. Hazrat Yaqub got into a situation where he said, my only resort is Allah. It's so difficult, so terrible. The only person I can turn to in this tragedy is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to look at two parts of the sabr of Imam al-Husayn before we go into the masaib tonight. Two parts of his sabr. One part of his sabr was this. His patience in the face of those who were naysayers. As you know, you've heard the story of Imam al-Husayn. From the time he left Mecca to the time he made it to Karbala, on the way there were many people who told him, you're doing the wrong thing. You're making a mistake. This is not your taklif. Brothers and sisters, one of the most difficult areas to be patient in is when it's coming from your own well-wishers. You know that something is your responsibility, your duty, but people who want what's best for you, not your enemies, are telling you, no, you don't need to do this. That is very difficult to be patient at that time. We're not talking about being stubborn, though. Some people are stubborn. I've made a decision, that's what it is. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to listen to anybody. No, we're told in a hadith that al-israr sajiyatul halka, that just being being stubborn about something, not listening to rational arguments. I've made a decision, that's what it is. That is actually the trait of the people who perished. Being stubborn, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when something becomes clear, this is my responsibility as a Muslim. This is my duty. At that stage, to be patient to those who are telling you no, telling you it's not the right time, this is not your duty, that's something that requires a lot of patience. So for instance, there are some things for us that are very clear that these are our responsibilities. These are clear for us. Duties. For instance, that love and loyalty that we have to the Islamic resistance in Lebanon. Right? The love that we have to Sayyid Nasrallah. The love that we have for the leader and the Islamic Republic, that tie that we have, that's different than an individual, this president, this policy, that policy, what this particular person, this Iranian brother or sister did, whether they were racist or not, this is not about that. The system, the leader, that's something which is different. I want to give you a story from one of the shuhada. There was a sister who was known as the Sumayya of Kurdistan. They're talking about what happened to her in prison. In prison, when they visited her, they saw that the people who were torturing her had shaved her hair. They had taken out all of her fingernails. Her face is bruised, bloodied, battered. Been torturing her so much that the other people, at that time, people were terrified to come out, terrified to speak out. These people, terrified, cowardly people, were speaking out. Come on, how much torture? You know what they were torturing? They were torturing her. They told her, they said, "We will set you free if you agree to insult Khomeini." Now, if you or I were there, taqiyya, what's most important, that's important. But a principle, for her, this was a principle. She said that all of the torture that you're doing, you do as much torture as you want, but that condition, no. You know how this shorter sister finally reached shahada? After 11 months of torture and resistance, she was buried alive. When it comes to principles, the believer is strong. Won't bend, won't break. Another one of the patients that we see again in Imam al-Hussein on the day of Karbala is we don't want to measure the patience of Imam Hussein because he received 70 wounds in a battle. Yes, that's difficult. But some might say, well, other brave soldiers do that too. True patience is when it's not only you, but your family. Not only you, but the principle is so important that a noble woman like Zainab, she's going to come with me. Those brutes there on the battlefield of Karbala, tonight we're going to talk about burning the tents, what they did to the family of Imam Hussein. I know what the price will be for my family. Strip off the hijab of Zainab. Take off, for instance, her necklace. My child, an infant child, I can take difficulty for myself. But my infant child, Ali Asghar, to have his throat slit? That is patience. That's patience. We ask that Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, give us that patience and help us to serve the cause of our master. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.